Today's reading is from John 15, 18 through 19. Please turn to John 15, 18 through 19 in your Bible, or turn to page 876 in the Bibles provided for you. If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. And as it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. You may be seated. The children may go to children's church.
Good morning. Glad to be up here once again. Hopefully this one goes a lot smoother than our last one did. You ever feel like sometimes in your life that certain people hate you? You know, I've had a time in my life when I was a lot younger, I kind of hated myself. Because when I'd walk down the street, I couldn't look up. I'd always look down when I walked. I wouldn't talk to people. Like in school, I wouldn't ask girls out on a date because I didn't think I was good enough for them. It took a lot in my life to change me and make me who I am today. As I spoke to James earlier, I told him, I said, if any of the kids in my high school class were to see me today, they wouldn't believe it. They would say, we thought you were going to be a comedian. You know, because I was always being a funny guy in school. But God come along and he changed my heart. And it really made me feel good because it let me understand what true love is. And I found that scripture in the Bible about the hate. And I thought, you know, that sounds like a pretty good scripture. But then at first I thought, now wait a minute, I don't want anyone to get the wrong idea, okay? That it says that the world hates the disciples, okay? Doug tells us every Sunday, serve the loving God and make disciples. So then you think, wait a minute here, am I supposed to go make disciples so the world can hate them? No, that's not what it's about, you know? So let's see what he has to say today about that, because he says up here that you didn't choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear the fruit that will last. And so whatever you ask for in my name, the Father will give it to you. So he wants us to go make those disciples. So we want to make sure that's what we do because that's part of our work. I remember when I first started being an evangelist, and my wife would ask me many times, she'd say, what are you doing talking to those people? They don't have no money. They ain't nobody. I mean, why you talk to them? And I said, it's just what I was told to do. I felt that from the Spirit. And then one time, an apostle, or not an apostle, but not a pastor either. I was trying to think the one in the middle there. But anyway, he came up to me and he told me, he said, Ben, he said, I know you're having troubles with wanting to talk to people and your wife doesn't always understand it. He said, but here's the thing. He said, God's chose you to do this. You're going to talk to people who other people won't talk to. You're going to be around people who nobody wants to be around. You know, and our world is full of them. Our town is full of them. You know, people who need help, you know. But sometimes it's awful hard to go out and talk to those people because they don't want to listen to you. They, nope, I'm fine with what I do in my life. I'm good. You know, I have a sister in town who has issues. God bless her. And I've tried to talk to her many times about God, and she continues to tell me, well, God's taking care of me right now. I said, is he? He's letting you go ahead and smoke marijuana, drink a lot of beer, stay at home, don't go out and talk with nobody. I said, I don't think so. You know, and it's hard to deal with that, you know. I have a cousin who I tried to reach out with her and touch her, and she just, I don't want to hear nothing you have to say about the Lord. Not a word. Broke my heart. Made me feel like, hey, our relationship isn't there, you know. She doesn't love me anymore. She still does. But she just doesn't want to hear it. So I can't force it on somebody. You know, they say the story, you can't go out and lead a horse to water and then make him drink. And I always had the idea, I can drown him trying. That's the way I felt, you know. But we got to be careful with how we go out and do God's work and you know, and let people become disciples. You know, I never knew, or I never paid attention to the fact that God was the first one who got persecuted. Or Jesus, he was the first one who was persecuted, right? Because he was a disciple and they didn't want to believe in him. They didn't want to believe that he knew what he was doing. They kind of sat around forever wondering, where did he come from and what's he here for? We don't agree with it, you know? So we're going to see what he has to say here today. Okay. It's fine. All righty, here we go. Hear the word of the Lord, who trembled at his word, your own people who hate you and exclude you to because name and have said, let the Lord be glorified that we may be, that we may see your glory, yet they will be put to shame. Okay, then in, I got one more back here. I want to read off that same chapter there. You got so many back here, it's kind of hard to find them sometimes. The world cannot hate you because it hates me, because I testify that its works are evil. So basically what God's telling us there, or Jesus even is telling us, is that they hate him, but they hate us because he chose us. We didn't choose him. So it's kind of hard to go out there in the real world today and try to evangelize to people and try to get them to understand things. I notice that a lot of times when we go out, I just have a habit. I look around and I look at people like in the restaurants. How many of them come in and sit down and get on their phone? They don't talk to each other as a family anymore. You know, everybody's, each person at the table has a phone in their hand. The meal comes out. You don't see the heads bow. Something I remember as a child is that back then I used to see a lot of that in a restaurant. You know, that families would come in and pray to God about their meal and stuff. But you don't see it in our world today, folks. So does that mean we're not out doing our job? We're not out making disciples for people? You know, it might be one of those things. Do not be surprised by my brothers and sisters if the world hates you. When I first thought about this scripture and everything, I thought at first, I thought, you know, I didn't think nothing about that. I thought, ain't nobody going to be mad at me because I want to go preach them the word of God. They're going to be happy to hear it. Oh, I was wrong. They're much faster not to want to hear it than hear it. You know, it's like, we don't have time for it, you know, or you go talk to them about, hey, you can go to this church. No, I'm Catholic. Really? When was the last time you went to a Catholic church? They can't tell you that, but they're Catholic, so that means you don't have any right to talk to them. You know, it's amazing how they can just shut themselves out over everything. We were talking in our Sunday school class this morning a lot about hate and stuff, you know, and I didn't always want to use the word hate. I always use the word as I just don't like it. You know, I just don't like it. I ain't going to do it, you know. When I'd go to school, my mom and dad, you know, they would try to raise me properly and everything. And they'd come home with the bad report card and they'd say, what do you make of this? And I said, I don't know. My dad says, I do. You'll repeat that grade over. How you like that? Me being the smart aleck I was, I said, hey, I can do that again. That was the wrong thing to say. I found myself in the next room. So it wasn't that my dad hated me. It was that he wanted me to be right, you know. And I felt like because they didn't come to any of my high school stuff, you know, any parent-teacher conferences or any track or field or anything like that, I thought, you don't care. So why should I care? That's the way I felt. And I, going through all this here, I started looking at it saying, man, I can't be like that. I got to learn how to make sure that I show that love that God taught me. I have to show that love to these people to help make them disciples. Because you just can't run right out there and say, hey, you're a disciple now. It doesn't work like that. You got to help those people, because each and every one of us have a part in our life where we're down, we're out, we feel bad. We feel like, I just can't do it. I don't want to do it. You know, I don't feel like doing it, you know. Anytime we get like that, we need to settle down and just talk to God. Take it to Him. Just the other morning, I remember I was sitting there at breakfast, and I got done. And I thought, man, I just hurt real bad in my chest. Man, should I have to go to the hospital or something? And I sat there and said, no, what are you doing? Take it to God. So I prayed to God and asked Him to help me. And within a matter of like 5 minutes, it was gone. It didn't bother me anymore. I was fine. So I know who my God is, and I know what He does for me in my life. And we have to continually listen to Him and what He gives us and what He says to us. In 2 Timothy 3, verse 2 and 7. I like that one. It says, people will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good. They're treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness but denying its power has nothing to do with such people. They are the kind that worm their way into the homes and gain control over gullible women who are loaded down with sins and are swayed by all kinds of evil desires. Always learning, but never able coming to the knowledge of the truth of God. Wow. Anybody know anybody like that today? I think our world is full of it, folks. I think our entire world is full of it. I know I don't bring politics to church, okay? But I know we have a problem there in our society. You know, the people that are out there who try to do these things for us, they're supposed to work for the people. What happened to that, people? I believe what happened to it is when they took God out. They set Him aside and said, we don't want Him in the government. We don't want Him in the school. Our kids don't need to know that. Our kids don't need to pray. When I was a child in school, every day we went to church, we prayed. Every day we would sing Christian songs in song class. I remember those things. And then right after graduation back in 82, shortly after that, I found out that they took God and prayer out of school. And when people go around, like we were studying this morning in our class, and they wonder why things are going so wrong in their life, maybe they'll stop for a minute and think, am I serving God? Am I letting God be a part of my life? Or am I just doing what makes me happy? What satisfies me? You know, there's a big difference between the world's way and God's way. And I talked one time to a bunch of folks about the different sides of God and Satan. And I would ask them questions. I would say something simple as, when was the last time God did something wrong? Nobody could answer it. When was the last time Satan did something right? Nobody could answer that. I would say, well, that's right, because God's the positive, Satan's the negative. So we got to be careful what fence are you riding on. Are you on a barbed wire fence, foot on each side of it? I don't think that's very comfortable. You know, I think that comes a time in our life when we got to decide, are we going to stay on the positive side of our life, or are we going to live our life on the negative side? I think it's very important that we stay on the positive side, because I have learned from myself that as I promise God what to do and God talks to me and tells me what he wants me to do, things in my life have gone so much simpler than they used to be. I never realized it was that way. And it was something just so simple as, if you change your life, you'll change your mind. Or change your mind, you'll change your life. That was something that hit me. It struck me hard. I thought, how come I take something that's so easy and I make it so hard? And I think each and every one of us have done that sometime in our life if we don't still do it, you know. We just have to be careful with what we're doing. And then over here, okay. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life for Christ Jesus will be persecuted. God was persecuted. He said, because I chose you, you now are mine. And I was persecuted, you'll be persecuted. You ever feel like you were ever persecuted in your life? Somebody really got down on you? Or wanted to do away with you because you were talking about God, they couldn't stand to hear you pray? Those things come up, and they're going to continue to come up. But we have to stand fast and let them know that we believe in Christ, and I don't care what you do or what point you take me to, I'm still going to serve the Lord. If that guy's sitting there right now with that gun to my head loaded and tell me he's going to shoot me if I don't say I deny Christ, I said, go ahead and pull that trigger. Because I have God in my life right now, and I'll go see him soon today. You know, it doesn't bother me. I really don't. I know where my life is with Christ. And that's where I would like to see everybody feel that way today with their lives, you know. Let me go back to the part where I started out here. Okay. Now he says, remember what I told you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours. They will treat you this way because of my name, for if they did not know the one who sent me. They don't know God. And if I had to come to spoken to them, they would not be guilty of sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. Whoever hates the sin, my Father as well. So they hate the sin and they hate the Father as well. Sounds like they're being pretty hard-headed, aren't they? They don't want to listen to them. They don't want to have anything to do with it. But if I had not done among them the works no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. As it is, they have seen and yet they have hated both me and my Father. But this is to fulfill what is written in their law. They hated me without reason. Don't you feel like they lied about Jesus when they wanted to go persecute him and put him on the cross? But you know, he stood fast and went through with it, and he died on that cross for us. He took that persecution, all those thorns in his head, them stripes on his back, he did those for us. And it's our job to help do it for others, to let them become disciples. In Matthew 5:10, he says, "Blessed are those who are persecuted because of the righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Because persecution provides an opportunity for believers to prove that their fitness for the kingdom. So if you're willing to be persecuted, that means you have that fitness. You're ready for the kingdom. So you got to have that inside of you to know that. Don't let persecution be something that scares you away. Let it be something that helps you work harder and stronger and go more at it to make these disciples. "You will be hated by everyone because of me, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved." And that's the way all of us need to work this as we go through it. We have to stand firm. We can't give up. We can't say, "Well, no, I'm done. I don't want this job. I don't want to do that." You know, and there was times in my life where I did that with work. I just get so fed up that day, I'd say, "I'm done. I'm over it. I don't want any more of it. I'm not coming back." You know. And I would change jobs or something and go to another one. And sometimes down the road, that one ended, you know. Just one of them things where I had to learn that you got to stick with it. It's not always going to be rosy every single day. And it's not always going to be hateful and feel like you're running through thorn bushes every day either. But it's what do we do with it that makes our day what it is, you know. Are we handing it over to God? Are we leaving it at His feet? Or are we still picking it up and trying to hang on to it ourselves? "Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you and insult you and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man." And then over in Acts 5:41. Then in Acts 41, he said, "The apostles left the Sanhedrin, rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name." And I didn't catch that one quite well, so I didn't know exactly what they meant by that, but they must have done something that God asked them to do. And as I was going on down and I was looking at a lot of that, it kind of came to me that I wanted to read the one in Revelation. That is Revelation 2:3, and says that you have preserved and have endured hardship for my name and have not grown weary. That's kind of a hard thing if we go through all that roughness and we still make it through. We still make it through. We hadn't grown weary, because it's easy to do that sometimes when you're in a bind like that. You can get in that worry feeling and feel like, "Man, this is going to be tough. I don't know how to get out of it. I don't know how to make it work." Talk to God. It's so simple. Take it back to God. Give it to Him. Let Him handle it. John 16:3, he says, I will do such things because they have not known the Father or me. He was talking later on in his scriptures and stuff when I was reading them. He was talking about the Israelites. You know, he talked about how stubborn they were. You know, they were out in the wilderness for what, 40 years, 40 days and nights, something like that. I don't know what all it was, but there was a reason that they were out there. You know, he said the people of Israel will not listen to me because they are not willing to listen to me. They're not going to listen to him. They're not going to listen to us. Right? For all the Israelites are hardened and obstinate. Sounds to me like they gave Jesus a guff and God a guff all the way through all this. You know, they didn't want to do those things. You know, God had to do a lot of things to get these Israelites where he needed them. But they were his chosen people. And it's pretty tough when he works with them. You know, when I was bullheaded like that with my dad and my mom, it was awful hard for him. You know, I can remember my dad telling me one time, he said, you weren't the easiest to grow up with. He said, to try to raise. He said, you were pretty tough. But on the other hand, the first day that he was there and listened to me preach, he said, I always knew you had that in you. That's when my head looked at him and I waited. I almost said it, but I didn't. I wanted to say, wow, now you tell me that you appreciate me. Now you like me. Because we were like oil and water. But I just believe that it was a really wild thing when that one came about. I have to tell you this one. It was great. We were in a small church over in Altus, Oklahoma. And our pastor was a little Spanish guy. Very dark skin, had really white beard. And we'd always call him Papa Smurf. He just loved it. But I came up to him one day. I go, oh, man, you got to get this. You got to do this. You got to preach this. This is great. He said, I ain't preaching it. That made me feel bad. I thought, well, that's kind of rude. He goes, you're going to do it. I go, I'm not a preacher. He said, you're going to be. Let me know when you're ready. And he left me alone. Finally, I thought, wow. So I studied and studied and studied, and I finally went down there. I told him, I said, I think I'm ready. I said, oh, man, I hope we do like a Sunday night. Won't be that many people. No, I got Sunday morning when it's packed tight and we got people standing. Never been up there in my life. You know, it's easy to stand up here. It's easy to talk back, but it's also easy to stand up here and feel like, okay, I'm weak, I'm nervous, I don't know what to do. You know, it happens. But it was just so great that I was able to come out with that message. And it helped me, but not only me. I was so shocked when I went to the back. Our pastor come down to close up like Doug did for me last time. And it was really amazing when he asked for the altar call. I was blown away. I was crying. 3/4 of that altar came up and got their life right with God, because it needed to happen. I always ask myself, well, why am I given this thing? I know what it is. I had that in my life. I had to do that. God says, you're not the only one that needs to hear this. And that's what I felt and I ran on when I did that sermon. A lot of my sermons now, my wife even tells me, she said, you've really changed different from where you were. And I don't want to change differently. I want to be able to help people. I want to be able to work with people, have people to come up to me and say, man, I'm having troubles. Can you help me with this or that? I'll do the best I can to help anybody I can, because I just love people and I love what God does for me and what he has for us in our life. You know, it's been a rough road out there. And it took me a long time in my life before I finally got that road straightened out. And a lot of that was because of me. I didn't want to listen to God. I didn't want to, you know, do what God wanted me to do. To me, it sounded like it was too hard, too difficult. I thought, what's in it for me? But that isn't what it was about. I learned real quickly that it ain't about what I want. It's about what God wants. And that's what I had to stand firm with. Over in Romans 1:20, he says, "For since creation, the world, God invisible, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that the people are without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God or gave him thanks to him. But their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened." That's such a horrible thing, isn't it? If you don't listen to God and you don't want to show love to God, don't want God to show you love, you can turn your heart real quick. And it'd be a really bad thing when you got to go up there to judgment day and explain to him how come your life is the way it is. It'd be a whole lot easier if you go up there and he says, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Amen. All right, I'll just jump back here just a couple more here and we'll have it. All right, in John 5:36, he says, "I have testimony weightier than that of John, for the works of the Father he has given me to finish. The very works that I'm doing testify that the Father has sent me, and the Father who sent me has himself testified concerning me." So the works, that was the miracles of Jesus, which testified what he and his divine mission was. Basically, Jesus was sent down here because he had a divine mission, right? His divine mission was to make sure that we could all be saved. And we could go to the Father through him. We didn't have to go back and listen to some guy in a booth tell me, "Okay, what are your sins?" You know? You didn't have to do any of that. You could go to God personally. Okay, 10, 30. Okay, 10:34 says, "It is not written in your law, I have said, you are gods." Let's see, wait a minute here. Jesus answered them, "It is not written in your law, I have said, you are gods." In other words, we belong to God. We're not anybody else but God's. Once you get accepted, you're God's children. And that's what he wants us to continue to do what he asks you to do. Because he says, "When I come back, I want to see you about my business." How many of us aren't going to be able to be about his business when he shows up? And I believe that's where Pastor Doug comes in and he tells us about that, you know, where he says that we need to go out and make disciples. We need to go out and get people saved. "Do not let those gloat over me who are my enemies without cause. Do not let those who hate me without reason maculously wink the eye." Another one over in Psalms 69. And the fourth says, "Those who hate me without reason outnumber the hairs on my head. Many are my enemies without cause. Those who seek to destroy me, I am forced to restore what I did not steal. And the last one that I have here in closing is 109:3. It says, with the words of hatred, they surround me, they attack me with cause. But they had no cause to attack Jesus, did they? But they did it anyway. Is that the way we're going to lead our life with people? Are we just going to attack them? Or are we going to try to get them saved? Get them to know God and have a better life than what they've had now? I just thank you guys for each time that you allow me to come up here and talk and give you the word. It's getting a little easier. It really is. I don't feel quite as nervous today as I did last week. Maybe it's because Doug was sitting here, right? And I thought maybe he was sitting back there taking notes, going to talk to me later, you know. But I thank you guys for what you did and everybody that's here today. If you have anything that you need me to maybe pray over you or talk with you about, feel free. I'll be more than happy to. If I don't have the answers, we can sure get them, that's for sure. So I thank you. And once again, let me go ahead and pray for us, okay? Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this opportunity that you've given us today, Lord. And I ask that it's opened a lot of hearts, a lot of minds, and a lot of people, Lord, that they can find it a lot easier to go out and make disciples now, Lord. We thank you for what you do, and we just give you all the glory and the blessings that you have for us. Thank you, Lord, in your mighty name. Amen.